The great Hoosier hubbub began in March of 1987, when New York Senator Alphonse D'Amato predicted on the Senate floor that his alma mater Syracuse would beat the Indiana Hoosiers handily in the NCAA basketball finals the following day. He went on to make fun of the Indiana team, noting that Merriam-Webster's Third International Dictionary defined Hoosier not only as a native of Indiana, but as an ignorant rustic. But the Hoosiers squeaked out the game by 1 point, sparked by Steve Alford's outside shooting. And the next day, Indiana's junior senator Dan Quayle took the floor to congratulate the team and to propose that the Senate adopt a non-binding resolution that would redefine the word Hoosier. Be it resolved that a Hoosier is someone who is smart, resourceful, skillful, a winner, and brilliant. All of this was just routine senatorial hijinks, but Quayle was apparently in earnest. According to a recent story in the Washington Post, Quayle wrote to William Llewellyn, the president of the Merriam-Webster Company, and asked that the offending definition of Hoosier be removed and that his own definition be substituted in its place. Llewellyn explained that dictionaries were in the business of reporting the way that words are actually used, but that if Quayle could persuade the rest of America to take up the new use of the word, Merriam-Webster would be delighted to include it in the next edition. When last heard from, Quayle's office was threatening to ban Webster's Third from its bookshelves. As it happens, Midwesterners have been using the word Hoosier as a pejorative since the 19th century. According to St. Louis Post-Dispatch columnist Elaine Vietz, in Missouri, a Hoosier is a low-life redneck, somebody you can recognize because, as she puts it, they have a car on concrete blocks in their front yard and are likely to have just shot their wife, who may also be their sister. Actually, nobody's sure where Hoosier comes from, but the best guess is that it's derived from the British dialect word Hoosier, meaning big or large. As early as 1832, the word was used in America to refer to a big rustic, a galoot. Probably it was this meaning that led to the use of the word to refer to Indianans rather than the other way around. In the 19th century, there seems to have been a disparaging nickname for the inhabitants of just about every state. There were Texas beatheads, Alabama lizards, Nebraska bug eaters, South Carolina weasels, and Pennsylvania leatherheads. If it's any consolation to Vice President Quayle, in fact, he could point out to Ms. Vietz that folks from Missouri used to be known by the endearing name of pukes. Originally, these names may have been applied by the inhabitants of neighboring states, but most of them were adopted by the natives in a spirit of contrary frontier humor. You bet I'm a bug-eater's son and proud of it. Nowadays, only a few of these nicknames survive, usually for the sports teams of state universities, the Tar Heels, the Buckeyes, and so on. But they're not fighting words anymore. Apart from Hoosier, only Okie and Georgia Crackers still have any negative connotations. The rest of the nicknames seem to have fallen victim to fastidiousness or to Chamber of Commerce boosterism. When you're touting the superior educational levels of the local citizens to get a corporate headquarters or a super collider for your state, you're probably not going to refer to them as beatheads. Then, too, the homogenized culture of modern America has tended to smooth out all these regional identities. People still come out to root for old state U, but we've come a long way since the days when Thomas Jefferson could refer to Virginia as my country. Come to think of it, maybe the Merriam-Webster people should change the meaning of Hoosier, not in Quayle's way, but to something more realistic. Hoosier, a person who eats fast food, goes jogging, and watches 30-something on TV. And, okay, just to be fair, they could add, and who's particularly dangerous from outside the three-point line.